Hey, what's good, everybody? It's your boy, See Through the Script here, back with another video. And in today's episode of the ongoing Faustian Bargain series that I kind of got going on, we're going to be exploring the life of a popular Chicago rapper best known as Lil Durk. Since 2013 and onward, Lil Durk has been a fan favorite for those into that melodic drill sounding music. Even collabing with the biggest artists in the game, from Drake, Future, 50 Cent, J. Cole, and many more. Like the story often goes, during Lil Durk's ascension to the mainstream, he began losing more and more family and friends. Today's video goes through each case, observing them from a numerical perspective to see if there are any signs of a classic Faustian bargain. So without further ado, let's get into it. Born on October 19th of 1992 in the Inglewood neighborhood of Chicago, Illinois, as Durk Derrick Banks, Lil Durk's journey began in the midst of challenging circumstances. The hospital that witnessed his arrival was the Inglewood-based St. Bernard Hospital. Growing up in a city notorious for its crime rates and tough neighborhoods, Lil Durk was exposed to the harsh realities of life from a young age. Raised by his mother LaShonda Woodward and father Dante Banks, a former gang member that turned his life to Islam during his 26 years in prison. Not having his father around at a young age only made Durk's life harder, especially considering where he grew up, something he'd mention often in his music. Durk's childhood was marked by the daily struggles of surviving in the rough environment of Inglewood. The violent streets of Chicago, known for its gang-related activities, became the backdrop for his formative years. Attending Paul Robeson High School, Durk faced not only the challenges of a tumultuous educational system, but also the lure of the streets. Faced with the decision to join the Black Disciples gang, Durk chose a path that would forever alter the course of his life. The pressures intensified as Durk became a young father in his teenage years. Balancing the responsibilities of parenthood with the challenges of street life proved to be an overwhelming task. The weight of these responsibilities then led Durk to make the difficult decision to drop out of school, a choice driven by the immediate needs of survival and providing for his growing family. So in 2011, Lil Durk's breakthrough moment arrived with the release of his mixtape, I'm Still a Hitta. This marked the beginning of his rise to prominence in the rap game. Recognizing the importance of family and loyalty, Durk founded his own label, OTF, an acronym for Only the Family, reflecting his commitment to those who had been with him since the beginning. His mixtapes, such as the Sign to the Street series, solidified his position in the rap industry. After gaining local recognition, Lil Durk signed a deal with Def Jam Recordings, a major milestone that paved the way for his entry into the mainstream. His debut studio album, Remember My Name, dropped in 2015, featuring hits such as Like Me and My Beyonce. However, it was the release of the single, This Ain't What You Want, that became a pivotal moment in his career. Released in 2013 as part of his Sign to the Street series, the track showcased his gritty storytelling and garnered a bunch of attention, setting the stage for his future successes. Durk's affiliation with Def Jam Recordings was a crucial chapter in his career. The label provided a platform for his music to reach a wider audience, and his song This Ain't What You Want became a signature anthem. Despite this success, Durk found that the support he expected from Def Jam did not materialize as he had hoped. In response to the lack of support, Durk made the strategic decision to part ways with Def Jam Recordings. In 2018, he signed with Alamo Records, a subsidiary of Sony Music Entertainment, seeking a new chapter in his career. The move allowed him greater creative control and independence, aligning more closely with his vision for the future. But back to the timeline, in 2013, amidst Lil Durk's rise to success and signing with a major label, he faced a significant loss. His close friend and fellow rapper, 17-year-old Leonard L.A. Capone, was fatally shot leaving a South Shore recording studio near 70th Street and Stony Island Avenue at 6:25 p.m. L.A. Capone's death profoundly impacted the Chicago hip-hop community.
My nigga L.A., man, you already know, get that money, kid.
Don't live, L.A., king, L.A.
And left a lasting effect on Lil Durk, who honored his late friend with a tribute tattoo. In 2014, Lil Durk faced more tragedy with the murder of his cousin, MacArthur Swindle, also known as OTF Newski or Nunu. Newski, a promising artist, was fatally shot around 3:20 p.m. while seated in an SUV on East 87th Street. An unidentified person approached on foot, firing shots, causing Newski to crash the SUV into a nearby storefront window, residing in the 7200 block of South Halsted Avenue in Inglewood. Despite gaining fame, power, and riches, Dirk faced a reoccurring pattern of tragedy. In 2015, shortly after collaborating with retired NBA player Joakim Noah, known for his time with the Chicago Bulls, Dirk's manager, OTF Chino Dalla, was fatally shot at 1:50 a.m. in the 8400 block of South Stony Island Avenue. Hit multiple times, he died after being driven to the hospital in the Calumet Heights neighborhood. Strangely, the meeting with Joakim Noah was for Noah's anti-violence campaign.
Yeah, that's your boy Lil Durk, man. Last from Chicago, man. My city, man. And when you rock your drop, just know your neighborhood safe, man. Stay with Stop the Violence movement, man. Salute my fans, salute my followers. Let's get it.
So in just 2 years as a major label rap artist, Lil Durk tragically lost three close affiliates, all victims of brutal murders. But fast forward to 2020, Lil Durk continued his successful trajectory, releasing multiple projects and introducing his longtime friend, rapper King Von. Von, who had been rapping since 2018, gained substantial recognition in 2020 for his raw storytelling and authentic drill image. His popularity soared with videos on platforms like YouTube and Spotify, amassing hundreds of millions of views. Supported by Durk's OTF label and Empire Distribution, King Von released the mixtape LaVon James in the early half of 2020, this featuring his hit song Took Her to the O. But tragically, on November 6th, outside a hookah lounge in Atlanta, Georgia, King Von and his crew faced a devastating incident. Outside the lounge, Savannah rapper Quando Rondo and his crew were present. Quando, resting in a car, witnessed King Von approaching with anger, initiating a confrontation. The situation escalated as King Von threw punches at Quando's crew. In self-defense, Lil Tim, a member of Quando's crew, fired at King Von, leading to Von's tragic death. In 2023, approximately 3 years later, charges against Lil Tim were dropped. In the realm of rap music, particularly in the drill scene where Lil Durk operates, unfortunate as it may be, involvement in crimes, fights, and the loss of close associates only serves to strengthen one's street credibility in the eyes of the adoring fans. Now, as a major label artist for 8 years by 2021, Lil Durk had experienced the unfortunate loss of four significant individuals, including his two friends, manager, and cousin. The series of tragedies highlighted the harsh reality that the life of a drill rap star is certainly not everything it appears to be. Coming off the loss of his close friend and once rising star King Von, Lil Durk would unfortunately receive more tragic news, this time involving his older brother, OTF D-Thang. On June 5th of 2021, just one day after Durk released his joint collaborative project with Atlanta's Lil Baby, whom I recently made a similar video about and you should check it out after this one, a chaotic scene unfolded in Harvey, Illinois at Club O. Multiple shots were fired, resulting in an officer being hit in the thigh. Tragically, Durk's older brother, OTF D-Thang, was hit in the head, leading to his pronouncement of his death at the scene. This marked the fifth person Durk tragically lost, with each of them all dying at the hands of some wicked murder. Now, before I dive into the decode, it's crucial I acknowledge the obvious. Yes, Lil Durk emerges from a violent upbringing with lingering threats from individuals in his old neighborhood who may harbor ill intentions towards his success or those close to him. Moreover, Chicago, with its notorious history of violence, is the birthplace of one of the most violent genres in modern day hip hop. In this video, though, I approach the narratives from a numerical perspective, exploring any peculiar patterns surrounding the deaths of these individuals. I investigate whether they fell victim to a Faustian bargain, potentially benefiting Lil Durk, or if their deaths were tragic occurrences without any underlying conspiracy, quote unquote, leaving that judgment up to your own interpretation. But with that said, let's talk numbers. Alright, going in order of events, we've got the unfortunate passing of rapper LA Capone. He was shot while leaving a studio in Chicago at the age of 17. And get this, it happened somewhere around the time when Dirk signed his big deal with Def Jam Recordings. Notice L.A. Capone died 3 weeks and 3 days before Dirk's birthday. L.A. Capone's real first name, Leonard, equals 33 like Lil Durk in the Reduction Cypher. L.A. Capone died on September 26th of 2013, a date that's written 26/9 like the number 269, which happened to be the day of the year Capone was killed, along with the fact that his name, written how the media would write it, equates to 269 in the reverse ordinal. His stage name alone equates to 41, matching the date numerology of when he was killed. Remember, he was shot at the age of 17 years old. The words rap, kill, and shot all equate to 17 in the Reduction Cypher. Next up is Lil Durk's cousin, OTF Nunu, also known as Nooski. Nooski was fatally shot on Saturday afternoon in Chicago while chilling in an SUV at a parking lot. When looking into his death, I noticed a very intricate pattern. Nooski died on the 31st of May in 2014, which was the 151st day of the year. 151 is the 36th prime number, and May 31st has date numerology of the number 36, 5 plus 31. Notice the word cousin equates to 36 and the reverse reduction cipher. To tie it all in, OTF Nunu, his stage name, equates to 666 and the Sumerian cipher. 666 is the 36th triangular number. So yeah, I mean, it appears to be a very precise numerical synchronicity, if you ask me. But speaking of the number 666, it's known as the number of the beast, a phrase that equates to 66, like the name of Little Dirk's label, Only the Family. Before Nooski was killed, he had plans of releasing his debut mixtape, which ended up getting released posthumously, exactly 34 days after his death. OTF Nooski and Murder both equal 34 in the reduction cipher. May 31st, 2014 also had 43 date numerology, which ties to the word murdered, again matching the narrative we've been told. Nooski was shot on a Saturday afternoon. Note Saturday and shooting are a 2-for-2 match in the ordinal ciphers. Here you can see that OTF Nunu equates to 33 like Lil Durk and the word family. And remember, Nooski was Lil Durk's literal family member. As you'll begin to notice, Durk seemingly keeps losing someone close to him before or after he releases a project. And in Nooski's case, Durk would go on to release his follow-up mixtape through Def Jam Recordings just 38 days after his cousin was murdered. The number 38 in rappers literally goes together like peanut butter and jelly, unfortunately. Now, before we get into the next unfortunate passing surrounding Lil Durk, I wanted to point out how Durk's label name, Only the Family, equates to 620 in the Satanic Cypher. And for those new here, zeros are null in numerology, leaving us with the number 62, which matches with the words Faustian bargain and sacrifice. As this video goes on, it should become even more apparent why I shared that with you. In early 2015, despite personal losses, Lil Durk's career soared with two mixtapes under Def Jam. Prepping for his major label debut album, he and his manager OTF Chino Dalla joined former Chicago Bulls star Joakim Noah for an anti-violence campaign discussion at Noah's condo. Ironically, hours later, OTF Chino was shot in his car and tragically passed away en route to the hospital. This marked the third close associate of Durk's to fall to gun violence within just 2 years of signing with a major label. Despite his rising success, a dark cloud seemingly followed him. While Durk hails from an environment where death is unfortunately common, these incidents exhibit peculiar timing and numerical connections. Plus, I was also thinking, like, man, how lucky is it that Durk wasn't in the car with his manager, considering they were with each other that very night, and I guess they decided to leave in different vehicles. Anyway, here you could see OTF Chino, manager of popular rapper Lil Durk, died on a date with 38 numerology. Remember, OTF Chino Dalla was killed. As you could see, his nickname and real name, along with the word kill, all equate to 64. Yet again, another perfect sync with the narrative. When it comes to the phrase 86th, you could certainly say it applied to OTF Chino Dalla, at least numerically speaking. Chino was shot on the 86th day of the year. Note, both human and blood sacrifice equate to 86. Plus, his birthday was August 6th, a date written 8/6. OTF Chino was shot exactly 19 weeks before his upcoming birthday that year, which doesn't seem so coincidental if you ask me. As previously mentioned, a reoccurring theme appears to be that the individuals connected to Dirk, who are experiencing untimely deaths, are perceived as sacrifices of some kind, seemingly paving the way for his ongoing success. I acknowledge that this might sound a little crazy to some, and everyone is entitled to their own perspective. However, my intention is to present the peculiar numerical patterns and timing surrounding these deaths for those that are curious and open to exploring a different viewpoint. That aside, Dirk's manager, OTF Chino Dalla, died 206 days before Dirk's 23rd birthday. Notice sacrifice equals 206 in the Latin cipher. Lastly, for the case of OTF Chino, you might recall how we talked about the number 62 and how it ties to the word sacrifice and Dirk's label name, Only the Family. Well, as you could see, OTF Chino Dalla also equates to 62 in the reduction cipher, likely further hinting that his death was a sacrifice. Dirk would eventually release his major label debut album titled Remember My Name that same year on June 2nd, a date that's coincidentally written 6/2, which means it came out exactly 67 days after OTF Chino died. Remember, blood and human sacrifice equate to 67, so make of that what you will. Now moving on to undoubtedly one of Dirk's biggest losses, at least in regards to the media attention it received at the time, was the loss of Chicago's own King Von. As mentioned earlier, Von was seriously blowing up at this time, and Dirk was certainly in his prime with both artists amassing millions on top of millions of views. But tragically, on November 6th of 2020, Von was fatally shot and killed outside of a hookah lounge in Atlanta by Savannah, Georgia rapper Lil Tim. Oddly enough, just the day before Von's death, Dirk appeared on the song and video for Pooh Shiesty's mega hit, Back in Blood, which at the time of this recording has amassed over 340 million views. So first you could see that King Von and Murder have a 2-for-2 match in the reduction ciphers. And what made King Von's death so eerie was its numerical connections to his mixtape he released earlier that year titled LaVon James. This album was released through a partnership with Only the Family Entertainment, Lil Durk's label, and Empire Distribution, which certainly isn't new to losing artists right before they reach their peak. On the mixtape's cover, King Von is seen branding a jersey with the number 64, said to represent the street in which he grew up on 64th and Martin Luther King Drive on the south side of Chicago. Plus, the shot clock also reads 64 minutes. But what's interesting is that Von was killed on the 311th day of the year. And 311 is the 64th prime number. The word kill equals 64 in the reverse ordinal. On the shot clock, the score happens to read 24-6, which some say references the amount of kills his gangs got over their rivals, which is messed up in itself. But what's really odd is that the project LaVon James came out on March 6th, exactly 246 days before he was killed. This seems to be implying that the mixtape cover art was foreshadowing the numerical timing of King Von's death. The connections to this project and Von's death seem to just pile on, as I noticed King Von died on November 6th, a date written 11/6 like the number 116, which so happens to be what the title of the project, LaVon James, equates to in the ordinal cipher. In addition to that, November 6th leaves 55 days in the year. LaVon James also equates to 55 in the reverse reduction cipher. While speaking about the mixtape, notice it was released on March 6th, which was the 66th day of the year. And remember, it was released through both OTF and Empire Distribution. Note that Empire and Only the Family both equate to 66. Plus, Empire Distribution equals 116, like the day that Von was killed. Now, the reason I analyze the numbers around this mixtape is because, till this day, it has the most popular song of Vaughn's career, Took Her to the O, which has amassed over 200 million views on YouTube and over 400 million listens on Spotify. This song likely made Empire and OTF a good chunk of change, as of course, these are the entities that benefit the most. Plus, it's widely known that artists are worth more dead than alive at times, and Vaughn was no exception, considering his first posthumously released album was his highest charting project, making the labels good money from his work. Lastly, I figured I'd point out that his highest charting album titled What It Means to Be a King came out on March 4th, a date written 3/4, and remember, King Vaughn and Murder both equate to 34 in the same cipher. Now last but certainly not least, we have the death of Lil Durk's older brother, OTF D-Thang, who was tragically shot while at a club in Chicago. Yet again, another one of Durk's people that were tragically murdered, and what are the odds that his older brother was killed just the day after Durk and Lil Baby released their highly anticipated joint album? Remember what I was saying, Durk tends to lose people close to him just before or shortly after releasing a project. And I'm not just referring to him in this pattern, this does happen to pretty much most of these celebrities. Note that Dante Banks Jr., D-Thang's real name, equates to 46 like the word sacrifice. Plus, his full name also happens to match with the phrase ritual sacrifice. But like some of the previous affiliates of Lil Durk that I've mentioned in this video, some had a 33 connection to Durk in some way. As we know, his stage name equates to 33, and well, his older brother happened to get killed 137 days before Lil Durk's birthday. 137 is the 33rd prime number. Note the phrase older brother matches the phrases human and blood sacrifice, with the exception of 68 and 86 being mere reflections. And notice the word brother alone equates to 86. Last but not least, D-Thang was shot and killed at Club O on a Saturday. Notice all these words on the screen have that 17 connection, which, in my opinion, is by no coincidence. Alright, now it's 2024, and Lil Durk has thankfully not lost anybody else since the loss of his older brother back in 2021, as far as I know. But since then, he released 4 projects, all doing pretty well, streaming-wise at least. And his 2023 album Almost Healed, brandishing the classic one-eye symbolism, has a song that's been nominated for a Grammy, and like usual, we'll just have to see if all of his Faustian bargains will have paid off or not. Alright, but quick side note, I am aware that the real reason, quote-unquote, he has the one-eye cover is because of a pyrotechnic device at one of his shows exploding in his face, causing him to have to wear some protection until his eye healed, leading to the inspiration for the cover. But seriously, it's like they're just looking for any excuse to display the same old symbolism. Plus, with the blood dripping down and the one-eye tattoo on his upper chest, it's really looking like he's trying to symbolize the sacrifices he's made, along with his allegiance to a certain side, if you feel me. Anyway, I want to end this video with an old tweet from Durk back in 2021, shortly after the loss of his brother D-Thang, where he stated, quote, "I be acting like I'm happy, but I'm really sad inside." When I read this, I couldn't help but think of the definition of a Faustian bargain, where it states, "Faustian bargains are by their nature tragic or self-defeating for the person who makes them, because what is surrendered is ultimately far more valuable than what is obtained, whether or not the bargainer appreciates that fact." But guys, with that aside, I appreciate those who stuck around and watched the whole thing. By now you guys know what to do. Go ahead and beat up that like button, comment anything I might have missed, share the video, and most importantly, subscribe, man. Remember, all of those things are free to do. It's been your boy Script, and I'm out of here. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.